Please be seated. This is a glorious time of year. As I walk through the neighborhood, I just can't help but marvel at the beauty. Flowering trees and shrubs, leaves are starting to appear, green everywhere, the sublime beauty of God's creation in spring. And so I find it fitting that our gospel today, Jesus reminds us of the interconnectedness of all things. He teaches his disciples that he is the vine, his followers are the branches. God is the vine grower, or the farmer, the one who gives growth to all things. We are the branches attached to the vine, who is Jesus. We are each one of many branches, living in a great web of interconnected relationship with God, one another, and all of creation. The branches are sustained by the life that flows from the vine, the Holy Spirit flowing in and through us, giving life. Jesus makes clear that cut off from the vine, we will wither and die. Jesus calls all this abiding. As he abides in the Father, so we abide in him. The very life that the Father and Jesus share dwell within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In the abiding of the Spirit, we are connected with God and with one another. We dwell in God. We remain in God. We are called into community, into relationship with God and one another and all of creation. Jesus also tells us that God, the vine grower, prunes branches so that they bear more fruit, so that they thrive. Long ago, I learned not to trust my instinct when it came to pruning. I was worried about hurting the plant. But the reality is that without regular pruning, plants become leggy. They don't grow vibrantly. Without regular pruning, they can even become so unstable and heavy they fall over. And so the pruning of a plant is essential. It allows it to generate strong new growth. This produces not just a healthier plant, but it fosters flowering and bearing fruit. It allows the plant to reach its full potential. As with plants, I would suggest so with our own lives, with our own spiritual lives. Pruning is essential. When things have grown old and stale, they need to be cut away. Behaviors that don't bring us life need to be let go of. If we are not thriving, it's time for adjustment. This can be challenging. These acts of pruning can be hard to do, but they allow us to grow and to bloom. And so to follow Jesus requires times of pruning, of letting go of practices and behaviors that do not bear fruit in us, to let go of whatever impedes deepening our relationship with God, with one another, with ourselves, with creation. It is periodic pruning that produces new, stronger growth in the vineyard of our lives, growth that bears the abundant fruit of love. In today's first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we have a striking example of some pruning that is required. Pruning that is required of those who follow the risen Jesus. Pruning that allows the bearing of the fruit of love. The passage describes an encounter between Philip and an unnamed Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Philip is one of seven chosen by the apostles to care for those in need. They're called, hands are laid on them. They become the first deacons. Philip is also an evangelist, and throughout Acts, he's going around proclaiming the risen Jesus, just as he does today to the Ethiopian eunuch. All we know of this eunuch is that what we are told in today's reading. We know very little. He's not given a name, but we do know he's an important and trusted official in the court of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. In the ancient world, eunuchs were trusted with important positions of power, especially in royal courts, where they could serve as administrators. Because they are unable to father children, they're considered safe to serve close to the ruler's family. This Ethiopian eunuch, we're told, is returning from worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. That's very interesting, because both as a Gentile and also as a eunuch, he was considered an outsider. He's not a member of the people of Israel, and he would not be allowed to enter into the inner parts of the temple. According to Deuteronomy, eunuchs were unable to have children, and so they were cut off from the people. When Philip comes upon the Ethiopian eunuch, he is reading from the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. That's a passage we read part of on Good Friday, and we see in that the prophecy of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. In this text, we hear how the one Isaiah is talking about is despised and rejected, cut off from the people. Isaiah says, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearers. And so the eunuch is wondering, who is Isaiah talking about? Who is this one? Philip proclaims to him that it is Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. I can't help but wonder, did the Ethiopian eunuch feel some kind of kinship or resonance with Jesus? After all, Jesus, we're told by Isaiah, is the one cut off and rejected. The eunuch is cut off from being a full member of the people. Did the eunuch find a resonance in hearing this? Was hope kindled in the eunuch that maybe in Jesus there was another who understood being marginalized? In her book, Our Tribe, Queer Folks, God, Jesus, and the Bible, the Metropolitan Community Church elder, the Reverend Nancy Wilson, speculates that this might be so. Wilson observes that just after the passage in Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip are talking about, there's another passage that offers hope. In chapter 56, Isaiah offers an image of God's kingdom where eunuchs will no longer be cut off, where they will be part of God's people. Isaiah's vision is that eunuchs, and in fact Gentiles, will be welcome, that God's house will be a house of prayer for all people. After reading Isaiah, after talking with Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch sees water, and I love this. He, with great enthusiasm, says, "Look, there's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Well, actually, there are several things. That request of the eunuch is challenging assumptions. He's a Gentile and he's also a eunuch. But Philip doesn't say any of that. Philip responds by baptizing him. And then we're told by Acts, as happens to Philip, he's snatched away in the spirit and he goes on somewhere else, leaving the eunuch alone. We don't know what happens after this passage, after the eunuch is baptized. But there's a tradition that says he goes on to found the church in Ethiopia. And so this account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch challenges assumptions of who is acceptable and who is not, who is welcome and who remains at the margins. And this account offers hope for the LGBTQ community, for LGBTQ Christians who have so few hopeful texts in Scripture. It offers a vision of inclusion, of challenging the human assumptions of exclusion based on one's identity. The story illustrates how the risen Jesus calls his followers to prune away our limited definitions of who is part of the people, of who is welcome. The eunuch was excluded both because he's Gentile and because he is a eunuch. He just wasn't the right person to be fully part of the people. I think there's a message for us in our time. We live in an age where there's a dramatic rise in violence against the queer community, and especially against those who are transgender, and most especially against transgender women of color. We live in a time when states are passing laws that discriminate against the queer community, especially against those who are transgender. And so this action of Philip calls us to fight for justice for all people. It calls us to celebrate the rich and various ways that people understand who they are in God's vibrant, beautiful creation. The account of the Ethiopian eunuch challenges us to dismantle the binaries we use to say who's in and who's out. Our world is so structured by binaries like good and bad, right and wrong. Often we assume a person's identity is also a binary. Someone is either male or female, gay or straight. There is little room in that for nuance, for diversity. Anyone who does not fit into one of those parts of the binary can be excluded, can feel not seen. Sometimes they are literally targeted by oppressive laws and practices and even violence. Life in the risen Christ calls us to expand, calls us to challenge our assumptions, challenge our binaries. As Paul writes in the third chapter of Galatians, as many of you as were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Paul in Galatians is reminding us that in Christ we are all one, and those divisions are stripped away. We become one body in Christ. And so this day, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip challenge us to allow God to prune away our reliance on binaries, on narrow definitions, and instead embrace the wide-reaching love of God. Embrace the complexity and the diversity of human identity. We're called to expand our welcome to all people, to embrace the particular ways each person knows themselves to be a beloved child of God. The risen Jesus bids us be pruned so that any narrow vision is cut away and we come to see as God sees. We come to embrace God's vision for creation. We embrace the richness and diversity that God has made. And so as the world around us is clothed in the beauty of new life this spring, may we be clothed with new life in the risen Jesus. May we remember our interconnectedness with all living things. And as the Spirit of God breathes in and through us, may God's life flow in us and through us to others. God abides in us through the Holy Spirit, linking us with one another and all of creation. Let us abide in Jesus, connected as organically as the branches to the vine, that we find the fullness of resurrection life in him. And through our life in Christ, may God's broad, inclusive love well up within us, coming to full flower and to abundant fruit. Amen. Amen.